When Colorado residents opened their local newspapers over breakfast last fall, this is what they read.
It's time to write the final chapter. Chilled. It's time to quit fooling around. No more Jean Amol is taking a few days off, or Jean Amol is on vacation. I suspect many of you have known all along my days here are numbered. Indeed, they are. I am dying. I really don't know how much time I have left, but I didn't want to continue struggling in private and pretending that everything is okay. I'm going to write a diary of my experience and share it with you. My diary is not going to be a maudlin, self-serving bunch of glop. Some of it may even be amusing, like my discovery of the elevated toilet seat, for example. I wish it could all be funny, but it isn't. I'd have a bestseller on my hands if I could write The Joy of Dying, but I can't.
When 78-year-old Denver columnist Jean Amol wrote these words, read here by an actor, he didn't know how long he'd be alive. He had just stopped taking his medications for a terminal illness. In the ensuing months, Amol has written about the many dimensions of dying, pain, hallucinations, fear, and has provoked a flood of responses. His editor, John Temple, says Jean's motto is, "Write to express, not to impress."
People are fascinated by basic personal experience, and they know a mom or a dad or a friend who's suffering pain. They know, you know, they've lost someone, and they want to understand it. And what Jean is helping them realize is, well, what is it like? It's about the last chapter of his life, and they're more about living, and people relate to living.
Amol has been the lead local columnist at the Rocky Mountain News for more than 20 years. His trademark is the one-word lead, things like herky-jerky, fever, spunk, hunk, Chianti. But it's his voice that a lot of Denverites have etched into their memories. In 1956, Amol co-founded a jazz radio station, and in 1957, a classical station, where he hosted the early morning show. He was known for his imaginative use of the medium, doing things like sticking a mic up to a bird feeder attached to the studio window to give listeners a sense of the outdoors. Jean Amol agreed to talk with us from his home about writing, radio, and death.
Dying and writing about it has energized me. It has given me energy that I didn't know I had. I tell people who don't have columns and who are in the process of going through this dying thing is to journal, to sit down and write your thoughts and your feelings, to write how you feel about things, how you feel about your family, how you feel about the world around you, how you feel about nature, how you feel about work, how you feel about play. Write it down. And whether anyone ever reads it or not doesn't matter. You have communicated these ideas to yourself, if no one else, and I think it's important that you do that.
Jean, you also write about everyday things and some surprising things, I think, about. There's a column I'm thinking of from January 16th, and you wrote about your personal trainer.
Yeah. Yes, I have a personal trainer, Angie Offenberg, and she comes to the house once a week, and I have to say that it has helped me a great deal in dealing with pain. I have a lot of pain, and I also have a Bowflex in my basement, which is a weightlifting machine. You've probably seen them advertised on television. I don't look anything like that muscular guy that you see. I'm withered away, really. I've lost so much weight. I weigh only 127 pounds now. But still, I train on the Bowflex, and it's been a great thing for me to get that kind of exercise. So I have decided to, I've resolved that I'm going to use what I have left in my body and use it to the best of my ability. And I feel better for that.
Jean, you used to host a show on Denver's classical station at the time, KVOD.
Yes.
It was a program called Friday Waltzes, which sounds so lovely. Tell me about this.
Well, radio is a wonderful thing because it taps into the human imagination. And to me, the advent of television kind of left that possibility out there withering away. And so when I was on the radio, I tried to get my listeners to use their imagination. And so when Friday rolled around and we were all tired of work and tired of what we were doing, I created in the listener's mind and in my own a chateau that could have existed somewhere in Middle Europe a couple of centuries ago. Chateau Ruby Hill, we called it. And I created whole characters out of practically no cloth at all. The program director, John Wolfe, became an Archbishop Johann. And Dick Brehm, who was one of our announcers, became a Lieutenant Richens, who was a gallant member of the palace guard. And so with these characters each week, I tried to create in the listeners' minds a grand ball that was held every week, and it was climaxed by the playing of a Johann Strauss waltz. And people just loved to imagine themselves in that setting. The women loved the fact that they were wearing taffeta ball gowns instead of what they were really wearing on that Friday morning. And that's what it was just pure imagination, and that was all.
I've heard that you so entranced listeners that some of them showed up actually dressed to the nines to waltz at the station.
Yeah, that's correct. I was astonished one time. I looked out the studio window, and this black limousine pulled up, and two people got out, Amy Shapiro, dressed in a beautiful ball gown, and Ron Emmerich, who was wearing white tie and tails. And they came out with a man dressed as a waiter with a bottle of champagne, and they proceeded to dance in three-quarter time as I sipped champagne and watched them. It was a wonderful day for me. It was a great moment in my radio history. I just love imagination. It's something that I'm using more and more now that I'm getting ready to die. Perhaps that's the reason that I'm writing these columns about it, is that I don't want to lose it. I want to use my imagination to capture these images that I don't want to see go away. I want to keep them as long as I can.
Gene, what do you think it's going to be the hardest for you to say goodbye to?
My family. I will have a hard time saying goodbye to my family and to my grandson, Jacob, who's just a little guy. He's just 6 years old now, and the wonder of life in his eyes has been a wonderful treasure for me. I'm sorry I'm bubbling up this way. I can't help it. There, that's better. I'm okay now. Yeah, I think that's it. My family, I hate the thought of losing them. I have no idea of if there is an afterlife, and if there is an afterlife, what will happen to me in it. So it's an open question as far as I'm concerned. And a lot of my readers have offered me great volumes of advice on this, most of them biblical in nature. But I don't really know what happens after you die. I just haven't the foggiest notion, and I have an open mind about it. I hope that there is some existence out there, but I just don't know whether there is or not. I just have to wait and see.
People have said that when they come close to death, they start thinking more about the purpose of life. And I would imagine some of your readers have their own take on this and perhaps have been writing to you about it. But what do you think? How are you thinking about this question, about the purpose of life?
Well, of course you think about, why am I here? And I've come to the conclusion that I'm here and we're all here to live, making our families secure and happy in their world. And that's what I've tried to do. I think that the purpose of life is to live it.
Well, Gene Amel, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And I love having the image in my head of the waltzing couple coming to your studio and you creating this whole world. It's a beautiful image to take away.
I love seeing you in that lovely taffeta ball gown. You are just lovely, and the tiara that you're wearing is sparkling under the great chandelier. Please come again.
Thank you, Gene Amel.
You bet.
Thank you.